a tiny little stable, all beaten and worn. Hardly the place for a king to be born. He didn't choose some place special to reveal his majesty. So I know if I'll give him control, that he'll be born in me. Oh, let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Lord, let it live in me. Let it start. Live inside this house of clay. That last verse. Now outwardly I'm nothing, not much to behold, unlikely a place for his word to unfold. But if I'll just yield this vessel and let him have his way, from glory unto glory he'll change me day by day. Oh, let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Oh, let it live in me. Let it start. Live inside this house of clay and mold it every day. Let your word be born in the manger of my heart.
Well, we're here to celebrate Jesus tonight, amen. If you don't know why I'm up here in scrubs, it's humble night if you didn't get the memo, but it doesn't matter what you're wearing. Jesus is looking at your heart, but tonight where we can just come and just relax. Worship the Lord. So let's sing about Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, there's just something about that name. He's Master, Savior. Jesus, just like the fragrance after the rain. Oh, it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, let all heavens and earth proclaim, King. it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, there's just something about that name. He's Master, Savior, Jesus. It's like the fragrance after the rain. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms have all passed away, but there's something about that name.
God bless you. Let's stand. Amen. I hope you came with joy in your heart. Amen.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. And he rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glory. Yes, wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of.
Why don't you greet one another this evening?
He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness. Oh, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and
good to be in church this evening. Good to see a good turnout here. We're just come to worship the Lord, and what better day than Christmas, huh? Amen. God bless you. As we go to prayer, just request traveling mercies. The Gurgleys will be traveling later this week for a couple of days. I want to remember them in prayer. Brother Layton will be traveling to Ohio this Saturday and Sunday to preach Sister Hamilton's funeral and stay over and preach the Sunday services there. Please remember him in prayer for traveling mercies and the services there. I believe that was the pastor's mother there that passed away, so I want to remember him in prayer while he goes up there. Sister Layton's aunt, Leota Phillips of Tucson, Arizona, is not doing well. Hospice has been called, and they're asking for the Lord's perfect will in that situation. And please remember Sister Debbie McCoy in prayer. She is in the hospital and is in a coma. They thought she had a stroke, but they think it may be a viral meningitis. Very serious need. So definitely want to remember all those needs in prayer. If you have an unspoken prayer request, make it known to the Lord by an uplifted hand. Brother Trevor, would you come and take us to the Lord in prayer this evening?
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, our hearts are full of worship for you on this day, Lord. A day when we remember your birth, Lord, because without your birth, there would not have been a redemption by blood upon the cross. Lord, just discussing the coming of the Messiah with my family this morning. Lord, we're looking for your second coming. Lord, when you part the clouds and you come and you receive a bride to yourself, Lord, that's another day when we're looking for your coming. Lord, we don't know when, we don't know how. Neither did the Israelites when you came that morning, Lord. And you were born in a stable, but Father, we're looking with anticipation in our hearts, Lord. We gather together today, Lord, just as a token, Lord, to show you, Lord, we're looking for you to come, Lord. We're looking for your word in our lives. We're looking for more of you. But Father, and as you tarry and until you come, Lord, may we be the little messiahs in this age. May we represent you to a lost and dying world, that they might see the light that you are, O God. Father, these requests that have come before us, some of them very serious, Lord, coma and hospice called in and different things. Lord, you're bigger than each situation. Father, we understand that, Lord, we're all coming to a place when we're going to come and meet a grave unless we take a rapture with you. But Father, we pray that you'd strengthen the families, give them wisdom to know what to do. Lord, bring a healing touch, Lord. That's our ultimate goal, Lord. And Father, those that are traveling, be with them and keep them. Lord, pray that you'd give anointing and inspiration to Brother Layton and any other brothers that are preaching, Father. Go with them, Lord, and speak through them. Use them as vessels, O God. So, Father, tonight come, inhabit the praises of your people. Anoint us, Lord, that we would hear your word. Father, and may as the word come forth, may it be anointed to our hearing. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. If the brothers would please come at this time. Days like this just make me thankful. So I hope you have a grateful heart today. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for all the grace that you have given us. Although I can't repay from my heart, I would like to say, Lord, I thank you. Oh,
Chloe, would you come get ready for your song?
For all the grace that you have given us, and though I can't repay from my Lord, I thank you.
I asked Sister Chloe if she would sing for us this evening, so I pray that this blesses you.
Joy is the flag flown high from the castle of my heart, from the castle of my heart, from the castle of my heart. Joy is the flag flown high from the castle of my heart, when the king is in residence there. Let it fly in the sky, let the whole world know, let the whole world know, let the whole world know. Let it fly in the sky, let the whole world know that the king is in residence there. Joy is the flag flown high from the castle of my heart, from the castle of my heart, from the castle of my heart. Joy is the flag flown high from the castle of my heart, where the king is in residence there. Let it fly in the sky, let the whole world know, let the whole world know, let the whole world know. Let it fly in the sky, let the whole world know that the king is in residence there.
Thank you, Sister Chloe. Appreciate you singing that. I hope that helps your joy out a little bit this evening. Amen. God bless you. It requested that we sing this song if it works out, so I think it will work out now just as good as any time. Maybe the devil's trying to lie to you and make you lie to you and tell you whatever he's trying to tell you, but he's a bluff. Amen. Why don't you help me stand and help me sing this evening?
Well, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I was made to overcome. I'm washed by the water of the Word. I'm washed by the water of the Word. I'm washed by the water of the Word. I was made to overcome. His Spirit is living inside, his Spirit is living inside, his Spirit is living inside. I was made to overcome. My healing is already been paid. My healing is already been paid. My healing's already been paid. Oh, I was made to overcome. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I was made to overcome. My family is under the blood. My family is under the blood. My family is under the blood. Oh, I was made to overcome. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I was made to overcome. My salvation's already been paid. My salvation has already been paid. My salvation's already been paid. Oh, I was made to overcome. He'll never leave me. I know he'll never leave me. I know he'll never leave me. I know. Oh, I was made to overcome. My mountain has started to move. My mountain has started to move. Thank you, Lord. To move. Oh, I was made to overcome. My every need he my every need. He's supplied my every need. He's supplied. I was made to overcome. I know every giant will fall. I know every giant will fall. I know every giant will fall. Oh, I was made to overcome. I've overcome by His blood. Setting me free, the sun is setting me free, the sun is setting me free. Oh, I was made, I'm washed by the water of the Word. I'm washed by the water of the Word. I'm washed by the water of the Word.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight.
Praise the Lord. Good to be in service tonight. Amen. Hope you all had a Merry Christmas so far, and that the Lord just gives us a good time in Him the rest of the time. And some of you, it looks like, got the memo, and some of you didn't, but that's all right. We have a humble night here about once a year. And I told Brother Hoover he doesn't look humble enough tonight, but I guess he feels like he is. But we do that about once a year. And Brother Branham would have those, and he says in one place there, he said, "Now Wednesday night's a humble night here at the Tabernacle." I said, "Now all you brothers, you wear your work clothes, your overalls, and I'm going to preach in my overalls." So I know a lot of people would have a hard time picturing Brother Branham preaching in his overalls, but he said that he did. So. Amen. You just relax tonight. And Jesus, when he came, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. So he came a way of humility. So we just want to take this time. And as Brother Trevor was saying in his prayer, just remember what he did when he came for us. I'm so thankful for that, that he left the corridors of heaven and came because there was a group of people that was predestinated to receive salvation. Amen. What a blessed people that we are. Well, the devil has tried to fight and hinder every way he can on the technology side tonight, but Lord willing, I think we've got everything together finally. But turn with me, if you would, tonight into the book of Micah. And we're going to talk tonight on a yielded little Christmas with the help of the Lord. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." Amen. Let's just bow our heads together tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again tonight, Lord, we're a needy people. No doubt there's many needs represented here this evening. Lord, I pray that you just come on the scene, be in our midst, Lord, and as we take this time, Lord, on a Christmas evening, Lord, to talk about you, and Lord, to go back and look into some of the things about your birth. Father, I pray that you just come on the scene, take complete control. Lord, may you have preeminence in the entire service, Lord, and all that we say and do. Lord, we'll give you the glory. Lord, just come and anoint in a way that only you can. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated tonight. And I don't even have to turn around and hand my coat to anybody tonight. So
Praise the Lord. I was reading the Christmas story to the children today and just thinking back on some things about the Christmas story. And most of you that have been coming for very long know I'm usually not very traditional when it comes to Christmas sermons around this time. I very rarely actually take up the topic of Christmas around Christmas, or I may bring something in along those lines with like maybe a different thought or topic that would maybe use a Christmas scripture. But tonight I did feel to go into the Christmas story, and in going back through it, I noticed some things that you'd think after all these years of reading the Christmas story over and over and over and hearing it told that you wouldn't pick up anything that you'd never caught before. But the Lord has a way of doing that. His word is eternal and his word is inspired. And so I'm thankful for it tonight. I'm thankful for all that he does for us and how that he's able to quicken things. And this was a prophecy of something that was to come. And as we look into it tonight, the scribes and the Pharisees were able to look back and they were able to identify some of these scriptures as what would happen and how that Messiah would come. And yet there were other parts of the scripture that in failing to identify those as being part of what Messiah would be, they missed what happened in their age because of their preconceived ideas of what they thought it was going to be when Messiah would come. What's sad is that's happened down through every age. People have had their preconceived idea, this is the way that it's going to be. And then when it doesn't come that way, they miss it. And yet it always, if it's God, it comes exactly according to prophecy and exactly according to Scripture. But the problem is people get their own mental conceptions of what it should be. And then they're looking for something that's in their own mind or their own imagination instead of looking and seeing what God's Word actually said about it. And Isaiah would say in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." He would say again in chapter 7 verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now we can go back and look and read these scriptures, and it's easy for us to see that Messiah was going to come. He was going to be born a baby, and he was going to be born a child that was a son of a virgin. And it's easy for us to look back and recognize that by scripture now. But yet the scribes and the Pharisees missed it. They were looking for a king, not a little baby. And even the wording, if you go back and you begin to look at the Old Testament word there that's used for virgin, it's not the same meaning as the Greek word that's used in the New Testament. The Old Testament word just means a young woman or a maid. So they weren't maybe looking for something quite as supernatural as God did it, but yet they were looking for something in their own mind, what they thought it would be. Now, this town of Bethlehem that Micah said this prince would come out of, as Brother Branham told us many of the things about it on Sunday, it was originally called Ephrath, which was in Genesis chapter 48, verse 7. If you're taking some of the references, Jacob buried Rachel there in Genesis 35, 19. Boaz and Ruth lived there. It's mentioned several times in Ruth chapter 1, verse 19 and 22, Ruth chapter 2, verse 4, and Ruth chapter 4, verse 11. David was anointed there in 1 Samuel 16, verse 4. David watched his father's flocks there in 1 Samuel 17, verse 15. And David reminisced about how he used to drink from the water, from the well there in 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 15. This little town of Bethlehem was the place that God had designated of all the other places. As Brother Branham said, he could have picked Shiloh, or he could have picked Jerusalem, or he could have picked Kadesh Barnea, or one of the great cities of refuge, but he picks Bethlehem to come and fulfill his word. Now, Brother Branham tells us that it's not the way that God's word is interpreted. It's not necessarily the way that we have it figured out or the way that we think it's going to be, but the way that God always interprets his word is that he comes and fulfills his word, and the fulfillment is the interpretation thereof. Now we can look and we can try to guess, and we can try to look and see way off in the future somewhere, and we can sit and debate, well, what's the millennium going to be like, and what type of food will we eat there, or will it be natural food that we're eating, or will it just be spiritual food, and what kind of chemicals will our bodies be made out of, and what will we be able to do, and what won't we be able to do, and what will our lives be like? And we can look and probe into the scriptures, and we can argue and debate about it, and one might lean this way and one might lean that way. But you know, the important thing, many times we focus on trying to get it all figured out pre-fulfillment. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees did the same thing, and they were both wrong. So we shouldn't just emphasize on, Lord, help us to figure it out pre-fulfillment, but we should pray, God, help us to recognize the fulfilling of your word. Help us to recognize the manifestation of your word when it comes. If it's 100 miles different than what I have figured out intellectually, Brother Jimmy, I don't care if at the end of the road he comes and says, Brother Nathan, you had it all figured out wrong, and Brother so-and-so was right, as long as he'll give me grace to see the manifestation of it and accept it and receive it. We emphasize on getting it all figured out right, but that's not the main thing. The main thing is, can you recognize it once it's manifested? We can argue and debate word, 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 but can you recognize the word once it becomes flesh? Can you recognize the word once it's put into effect? Amen. So our desire is to recognize, God, help us to recognize the fulfilling of your word. This is what they had missed. They missed the very fulfilling of the word of God, and yet it was exactly what the scriptures had taught. But it was probably different than what Rabbi so-and-so had taught. Luke chapter 1 verse 26, in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Oh Lord, here you've messed the whole thing up already. Lord, it was supposed to be to Bethlehem that you were coming. But see, God does everything just right. And we can look, and if we had been here and Mary had come and knocked on your door and said, Brother Jimmy, you'll never believe what happened to me. We would have, most of us, if we had been living there and would be honest with ourselves, and we had just been looking to the word and not to the revelation of the word, we would have said, Mary, I don't know what you ate or what you dreamed, but you're wrong and I can't accept it, because he's coming out of Bethlehem, not out of Nazareth. And we would have stood there just like Nathaniel of old, and we would have said, your city that you came from is terrible. We love you, we appreciate you, but what good could come out of Nazareth? Amen. And hopefully she would give us the same response that Philip did. Well, come and see. Come and see. Many times we're so quick to judge on our knowledge of the scriptures and our knowledge of the message, instead of stepping back and saying, Lord, is this you? But maybe you're coming around in a direction that I didn't expect you to come. That's how the Pharisees missed it. That's how Pharaoh missed it. That's how Judas missed it. That's how we could go down through all the history of the Bible and the church ages and see how many missed it. That's how they missed a humble Kentuckian in this age, and they wanted to cling to their Baptist denomination or their Pentecostal denomination or their Catholic denomination or whatever it would be, because they couldn't accept God coming through a humble Kentuckian with no association with a denomination to back him up, and without great swelling words. And God use a man like that? God is always used men like that. And they failed to recognize it, yet reading the very same Bible that we have, and they would look and they could read Malachi 4 and quote it just as good as we could, or Luke 17:30, or oh, so many other scriptures, as Brother Branham said, but failed to recognize the manifestation of it. And when you try to show them the manifestation of it, many of them will try to explain it away and say, well, that's for the Jews, or we don't believe, we think that already, John the Baptist already did that. I want to say, John the Baptist did not restore all things, but we did have a prophet in this age that did. John the Baptist did not come before the great and terrible day of the Lord, when all the wicked would be burned as ashes, but we had a prophet in this age that did. And so in the sixth month, now the sixth month, it wasn't talking about June here, but it's talking about the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. If you go back and read the rest of chapter 1, it's talking about how the angel had come to John's father, Zacharias, and would begin to tell him that he and his wife Elizabeth would have a child. Brother Branham said he had all kinds of scriptural references for this. There would be a Hannah that was barren that would have a child, and Sarah and Rachel and different ones in scripture that Zacharias had as a type that God could do this. Yet Zacharias doubted the angel when he came, and so the angel just shut his mouth until the birth of John. Now in the sixth month of this pregnancy, the angel Gabriel sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. If we drop down to verse 30, and the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Oh, if that could be our testimony tonight. Fear not, little flock, for thou hast found favor with God. Oh, God may not like every little motion that you make. We all stumble and fall, but God looks at the heart, remember? He doesn't look at every little action. Oh, well, I messed up the other day and I said something I shouldn't to somebody over here. That's all right. It's good to have conviction. I thank God for conviction. As I was talking to a brother the other day, if you don't have conviction, you should be afraid. If nothing convicts you anymore, you should be a little worried. But when God will come and convict your heart, don't give up. Make it right and move on. Because God's looking at your heart. God's looking at, will you do something for him? Amen. And so, thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. Now, wait a minute. I thought his name was supposed to be Emmanuel, which was interpreted God with us. And people could come in that age and say, now look, I've read the Old Testament from cover to cover, and I don't see no Jesus' name in there. I don't see Jesus named once. You know, that's what they say about Brother Branham. I don't see Brother Branham's name in the Old Testament. I don't see John the Baptist's name in the Old Testament either. But Jesus identified him as Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah 40 verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Amen. So we recognize that he was Malachi 3. We recognize he identified himself and positionally placed himself. So it didn't matter. There was nobody hardly in the Bible ever that it was proclaimed ahead. There were a handful that God told them what they would name the child and things like that. But the vast majority of people that did anything for God, nobody knew who they were or where they came from or where they went to school or anything about them until God came and began to work through them. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Oh, let's just remind the devil of that tonight. With God nothing shall be impossible. You say, but Brother Nathan, you don't know what my situation's like. You don't know what my boss said to me the other day. You don't know what I'm up against. You don't know the challenges. You don't know the family situation. You don't know the debt. You don't know the sickness. You don't know the trials. You don't know the emotional scars down through my life. Or you don't know the things that I'm facing. The doctor said I have this and that. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Don't you limit God and try to say, well, he can do it if the doctor says he can, I guess. No, when the doctor says he can't, that's when I get real excited, because I figure, you know what? It's just another opportunity for God to come and prove that he's more than science and he's more than figuring out and he's more than intellectual education, but he can do whatever he wills to do. Amen. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Oh, when we look into the pages of scripture and when we turn on a tape or pick up a message book, that's what my desire should be and your desire should be it unto me according to thy word. Not, oh, I don't understand, or was that just for somebody in 1959, or was that just for somebody in Jerusalem or in Bethany or back over here in some other city. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Now she leaves Nazareth Here she was of the city of Nazareth that said that God came and sent an angel to the city of Nazareth, sent Gabriel there, and tells her these things. Now she leaves and departs with haste into the hill country, and she goes into the house of Zacharias and Elizabeth, and now Elizabeth being 6 months pregnant, and yet there had been no movement of the child laying there, Brother Branham said, subnormal. There should have been movement, the baby should have been kicking and things like that, but no signs of life. And as she gives Elizabeth this salutation, and the very first time this name of Jesus is spoke by mortal lips, Elizabeth begins to say, "Oh, whence comest the mother of my Lord?" Because as soon as your salutation was given to me, life sprang up and the child began to kick, and he didn't just get natural life, but the Bible said he received the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Amen. Well, the first time it was spoke, Brother Jimmy. So I wonder what it would do today just to speak the name of Jesus over somebody, over their situation. Well, if I could just get you to my doctor, or if I could just get you to this one or get you to that one. No, maybe we should just speak the name of Jesus over him and say, "Hey, I serve a God. I serve Jesus Christ. And he is more than able to take you through whatever you're facing." If the name of Jesus could breathe life into a baby that was dead in a mother's womb 6 months, what could it do to vessels that are willing to receive? John had no way to testify about it in his mother's womb. They say, "Oh my, the initial evidence of speaking in tongues." John had no way to speak in tongues in his mother's womb, but yet he received it anyhow. So we find you run out on a limb on your doctrine and you get stuck out there, but let's take all that the Word said. Amen. I believe in speaking in tongues. I think we know that by now, but we don't believe it's the initial evidence. Satan can impersonate any gift. Satan can impersonate any emotion, but he can't impersonate the real baptism of the Holy Ghost, because it's more than just an emotion. It's more than just an outward expression. It comes and changes you from your old nature that you used to be, and the way that you used to walk and the way that you used to talk, to where your neighbors and your family and your coworkers can recognize something happened. It was more than an emotional fit. It was more than getting excited. Nothing wrong with getting excited. Nothing wrong with emotion. I thank God for those things. Brother Bram said, if your religion don't have emotion, bury it. But if all your religion is emotion, you forgot something and missed something somewhere. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, verse 56, and returned to her own house. So Mary receives the salutation, and she goes quickly to Elizabeth's house and stays there for 3 months, and now she returns. She stayed there for 3 months, which would have been the 9 month pregnancy of Elizabeth till little John was born, and now she goes back with tidings. Now she's 3 months pregnant. She's been gone to Elizabeth's house for 3 months, and here she comes back to Nazareth, Brother Trevor, with a little love gift. And now she's got to confront this one that she's been engaged to and try to tell him what took place. Matthew chapter 1 verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child. Oh goodness, but there's more. With child of the Holy Ghost. Oh my. Well, I thought God was his father, Brother Bram said there. He was. Amen. God and the Holy Ghost and Jesus is all the same person. It's just three different manifestations of that person. Amen. That's why, you know, even with us, when we look, if you can't believe God as a triune being, then you'll have a hard time believing in yourself, because we're a triune being of body, soul, and spirit. And you've seen my body, but you've never really seen the real me. You've never seen that soul down on the inside. You've never seen that spirit that makes this body function. But yet without those things, I would just be a corpse. So you have to take me for all of me, not just for your favorite part. And that's how it is with God. We don't just subdivide him up. Well, you know, the Father, Brother Ram said he used to think the Father was an old man that was angry at him like a judge, but then the Son came and gave his life, and he would stand there and take up for him before the Father. But he said, I begin to recognize that Jesus was the very heart of God. Amen. Jesus was the love, that portion of God that came, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that he would come and tabernacle himself in a human body as a love gift to us. The greatest story ever told. It's more than Santa Claus. Amen. It's more than packages and bows. It's the greatest love story that you could ever think of, that God would tabernacle himself in flesh and wrap himself in humanity and give himself for you. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sins. Aren't you glad that God sometimes intervenes and overrides our stupidity and our humanity? And when we would go to do something to mess everything up, God will step on the scene sometimes and say, you better watch out. You better stop. You better wait a minute. Better look at that again. And maybe we would have walked right into something, but the intervention of God coming down, the sovereignty of God intervening and stepping in. And, you know, we come by free moral agency, as I've said before, but the free moral agency of man does not override the sovereignty of God, but sometimes the sovereignty of God will override the free moral agency of man. Amen. If not, Brother Branham, when he went to kill those little boys back there when he was a young man, they beat him senseless, and he went out there with every intention to do that. If it hadn't been for the sovereignty of God, then it would have been a different story. When he tried to commit suicide after he lost his wife, it would have been a different story if it hadn't been for the sovereignty of God. But oh, let's not just pick on his humanity tonight. Each and every one of us sitting here tonight, if we'll be honest with ourselves, if it hadn't been for the sovereignty of God saying, no, I'm not going to let you go any further than that, there's many of us that wouldn't be sitting here tonight. Amen. I know I wouldn't be. If it hadn't been for the sovereignty of God, oh, he let me run a ways, Brother Jimmy, but it came to a spot where he said, nope, that's it. I'm not going to let you run any further. It wasn't that all of a sudden I got religious and all of a sudden I got self-righteous and thought, you know, I think I've had enough. I think I've had enough of this worldly living and running from God. No, God pulled on the reins and said, that's all she wrote. I can't let you go any further than that. And there were many times I would still try to go, but he would stop me right there every time and say, no, I'm not going to let you go any further than that. Why? Because he had something for me down the road. He had a predestinated seed of God that he had placed in my heart. And each and every one of you, if you'll be honest with yourself, I'm sure have similar testimonies where you'd have turned the wrong direction, or you would have pulled out in front of that semi, or you would have went to the wrong job or the wrong state or married the wrong spouse if God's sovereignty hadn't stopped you and said, no, I can't let you go that far. Amen. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted as God with us. Now this version, the Greek version of this word is exactly the way that our concept of the word would be. But yet if we go back and look at the Hebrew version of that word virgin, it just means a young woman or a maid. But yet God had something supernatural that he was going to do. And I find it interesting how that with all of the chaos going on in this age that they lived in, with all of the political struggle with Rome and with Israel and all that was taking place, different countries fighting one another and different politicians rising and falling and different taxations and different ideas and different groups that would rise up, spiritual or political or whatever they were, yet in all the confusion and in all of the chaos, God would bring two people together that he had predestinated, and he would get them in the right place at the right time, and even maybe things in their own lives that they could look at and think, how can this be your will, God? How can this be what you have for me? But God had to get them in the right place at the right time and in the right condition to fulfill prophecies that had happened hundreds and thousands of years before they were ever even thought of. Before anybody ever even knew that there was a Joseph or a Mary, God had spoke through Moses in Genesis and said, his heel shall bruise the serpent's head. Before there had ever been anybody think of a Joseph or a Mary, there had been a prophet said a virgin shall conceive. There had been a prophet that said he would come to Bethlehem Ephrata. There would be many prophecies that had to be fulfilled, and God wasn't going to leave one of those prophecies laying unfulfilled, but whatever it took to get them to the right place at at the right time, God was getting it all orchestrated in an order. And sometimes we go through growing pains and birth pains spiritually, and we begin to look and we begin to wonder, God, why did you allow this? And God, why am I in this condition? And why is there this trial? And why is there this financial situation or this family situation? But many times it's God getting you in the condition so that he can fulfill his word through you. Oh, what is the attraction on Mount Sunset, Brother Branham? God fulfilling his word. Amen. Amen. God has to get everything orchestrated in such a way. Sometimes there's some pains getting it in that place and getting it in that way for God to fulfill his word, but his word will be fulfilled nonetheless.
Yes, sir.
Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, here they are in Nazareth. Here the angel has come and spoke and confirmed the prophecies. Now she begins to feel this life growing on the inside of her. God is going to wrap himself in flesh and this little baby that's being formed in her womb. And now as the days of the childbirth begin to near, and you know, maybe things were hard for them in Nazareth. Brother Branham said they were a poor family, and maybe they didn't have a lot. Maybe they didn't have a very nice home. And here Joseph, being a carpenter, no doubt maybe learned it from his father. And here he comes, and he's getting ready to have this child that's going to be brought forth. And he thinks, God, why would you choose me? Out of everybody, anybody else ever feel that way besides Joseph and me? Joseph could sit there and look at Mary. Brother Branham said her big brown eyes staring back at him there, and as they would come out of the temple and hear the priests on the Sabbath day read the scriptures, and no doubt he could look and say, God, why would you bless me with this woman out of all the millions of Jews that have lived down through the ages, and you picked her to bring your son through? Why me, Lord? Why would you pick me? Why, there's men that could take care of her and provide for her better. There's men that could give your son a better education than I can, and why would you pick me, Lord? God knows what he's doing. Whether you feel like you're worthy of him to do it through you or not, he knows what he's doing. Amen. And he picks you and chooses you and places you for a purpose. Whether you're trying to hold the brakes on him or not, God will perform what he has for your life. Amen. You can come the easy way or the hard way, but you can't outrun God's election and predestination. No doubt Paul could sit there and wonder the same thing. No doubt night after night worrying about what he had done there and consenting to the death of Stephen. He'd think, Lord, why would you pick me to be a messenger? Why would you take and pick me to be the apostle to the Gentiles? There's many greater men and men that were more worthy. Why didn't you pick James or Jude or Peter or somebody like that that never persecuted the church? But God said, but I picked you, Paul. But I picked you, Lee. But I picked you, Furman. But I picked you, Arnie. Amen. We don't get to do the picking. I picked you, Trevor. I picked you, David. You all read your name in tonight.
Amen.
St. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Nobody likes tax season except the IRS. Nobody likes tax season. And now there goes out a decree from Caesar Augusta that all the world should be taxed. And no doubt there were people going around thinking, oh my, I wish one of these Israeli snipers would take him out and we'd put a stop to this. Or I wish I could get close enough to him. I'd put a stop to all this tax stuff and this, that, and the other. But God had placed Caesar Augustus there for a reason, because he had a little couple that was about 90 miles away from Joseph's hometown that had to get from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and he had to force them into that condition. There's many times that God has to force us into the condition. Oh, if we'd get quiet enough and listen to his voice long enough, maybe he would just tell us and speak to us. But there's many times, I'm speaking for myself tonight, and I hope I can speak for you too. I recognize there's many times that God has to force us into a condition or a situation or a location so that he can use us in the way that he had planned. Now, he's doing this with Joseph and Mary, and I don't think that God just laid it all out for him step by step, because he didn't do it for Brother Branham, and he didn't do it for me, and he doesn't do it for anybody else. that I know of where he just lays out the complete blueprint and says, now you're going to go up here and this is what today's going to be and this is what tomorrow's going to be. But there's many times that we have to wait on God and seek God and see what God's doing, and we're wondering and we're looking, and many times we get frustrated whether we want to admit it or not. And maybe they were frustrated on their road. Here she is about to give birth to a child, and they've got to get on, he's got to place her on a donkey, and you know, it wasn't 90 miles in an air-conditioned car, but here they are over hills and through creeks and valleys and over rocks and all down through the mountains. They come here from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and about a 90-mile journey, because Caesar Augusta had chose to tax at this time of year, and now all the world that's under the Roman Empire has to go back to their hometown. And maybe there was frustration, maybe there were lines at the shipping docks, and there were lines for people trying to buy donkeys to go on their journeys, and there was frustration and confusion, and God allowed it all to happen to get two people in the right place at the right time. Amen. Oh my, he's perfect, isn't he? And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in a swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Can you imagine them? I preached on it one year. I don't think it was at Christmas time, but I think it was around June or July or something. I preached on an unexpected turn of events and how that they hadn't planned for this, or they would have already had their hotels booked and reserved. They hadn't planned on giving birth to Jesus right at this time, but the journey and the trip and the time of her pregnancy, now it brings forth this birth, and here they are. There's no place for them to stay. They went to this inn and knocked on the door, and they went to this place over here, and finally they find them. Brother Bam said it was a little cave that was dug out the side of the wall there to make a stable for the donkeys and the oxen, and they get back in there out of the weather, and they begin to take the manger that they had placed the hay in for the oxen and the cattle to eat, and she takes the swaddling cloth off of an ox's back and wraps this baby and lays him in a manger, because there was no room in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. How will we find him? How will we know which baby it is of all the babies born in Judea this time of year? This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Probably wasn't a lot of other children in Judea in that exact condition. And so God is being very specific so they don't miss what he's doing. I'm going to say in this age, again, God was very specific so the predestinated seed wouldn't miss what he was doing. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the sayings which was told them concerning this child. And all they which heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now, the story, if you just read on through Luke here, Luke, in the next few days, they're in Bethlehem, and in Luke's gospel, they take him to the dedication. They dedicate him. Brother Abraham said, you know, if you didn't have enough money for the lamb, the poor people, they could bring two turtle doves and give that as a sacrifice. And here they bring him and sacrifice two turtle doves. And the experience that the priest has there, and Anna the prophetess, and they begin to see Jesus. And then Luke just jumps ahead of the story, and it looks as though they just turn and go right back to Nazareth. And then John begins his ministry 30 years later, and there's just a gap there, and that's all we know. But when we go back into Matthew's gospel, we begin to realize that's not exactly what happened. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now here, as Brother Bram talks about in the indictment there, he said there they crucified him. There they, the most religious people in all the world, there, Jerusalem, the most religious place in all the world, crucified him, the most holy, the most righteous one. And here they come to the most religious city in all the world, and they're looking, where is he? We saw his star in the east. We've come, we're looking for him. Where is he at? And nobody knew anything about it because they weren't looking in the right way. And so now he has to get all of his scribes and chief priests together, and he begins to demand of them, where is Messiah to be born? And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least of among the priests, the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Notice he's inquiring diligently, when did you see this star? And they must have said something like this: it was about 2 years ago this time. Because remember, he when he goes to kill all the children, it says he started all those in Bethlehem from 2 years old and under is what he killed. So he asked them diligently, what time did the star appear? And he sent them to Bethlehem. You mean he didn't send them to Nazareth? I thought Mary and Joseph were back in Nazareth now, and Joseph was working as a carpenter, and they was just waiting on John the Baptist to come and give his prophecy. But he sends them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when they have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Not the baby in the manger, where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, not the stable, not the barn, not the cave, not the manger, when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child and Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now these gifts of the Magi were symbolic. They were identifying his deity. They were identifying who he was and who they believed he was by their gifts. Now gold represented royalty, and it would represent Jesus as king. And then incense was representative of the prayers of the high priest, that he was not just king, but he was also priest. And myrrh was often used as a spice, as an ointment to bury the dead. A burial oil foretold of his death. And here their very gifts that they brought showed who they believed that he was, and identified who he was by the very gifts that they brought. Brother Bram says, "Where is he? King of the Jews," 1958. And it led them to Bethlehem, where they found that one, where he who was Emmanuel, being raised up in a carpenter shop, poor. And they unloaded everything they had and laid it at his feet. Oh, if we could do that tonight. All your burdens, all your trials, all your temptations, every gift that you have, every good thing that you have, just unlay it all, unload it all at his feet. They unloaded everything they had and laid it at his feet, and they worship him because they know the light had come and the Savior of the world was being born. They gave everything they had because God had given. Now, I don't know why, And I don't have a quote or a scripture to tell you the details of what happened in this 2-year period. So we're just going to have to dramatize here for a little bit. And my dramatization may be completely wrong, but it had to be something that kept them for 2 years in Bethlehem, because here they were from Nazareth, both of them. But Joseph's hometown being in Bethlehem, he comes all the way back for the taxation 90 miles away. And the baby's born, and he comes forth in swaddling clothes and lays him in a manger. And the shepherds come and acknowledge his birth. But Brother Branham said the wise men were already on their way. We just heard it Sunday morning, remember? The wise men were already on their way. And here they come, a journey from the east. And they started out journeying from 3 different places. But they would come into one central location. And they would meet there together. And they would come, and they were following his star. And Brother Branham said they represented Ham, Shem, and Japheth's children. All of them were coming from different locations. And all of them were coming to worship this king. They were magi's or stargazers, and they recognized there was this something, there was a heavenly body that nobody else was looking for, but they recognized this constellation of planets that would come together as being something, a sign that God was bringing forth a king. And they began to look and to search the scriptures and to recognize what was promised for their age. And they came together, different backgrounds, from different cities, from different states, from different countries, and here they all come together, God showing them, revealing it to them, and here they come together, and all of a sudden they're cross paths. You saw the star too? Everybody else thinks I'm crazy. Bless God, brother. I'm looking for the same thing. You mean God, you see this in the scripture too? Absolutely. Something about the quickening power of God, it can bring people from different places and different countries and different states and different assemblies together, and different backgrounds and different walks of life and different doctrines that they've been grown up in, and all of a sudden their paths cross, and they begin to say, oh, you're a brother too. Just like I've known you my whole life. Uh-huh. Same Holy Ghost ticking on the inside. You mean you came from here and you came from there and you see that the same way I do? Oh, absolutely, brother. Amen. That's just as plain to me in the word as anything. And here they come looking for this star, and they get there and they find the house, and they don't find the baby in the manger. They find a child 2 years old or a little younger with his mother. And here they are still in Bethlehem. God had to keep them there because the magi's were coming looking for this one that was born king of the Jews, and king of the Jews scripturally was born in the scriptures in Bethlehem. They come to Jerusalem looking. Here's this great religious headquarters, and the scribes and Pharisees were going to look right to the scriptures and send him, and prophecy had to be fulfilled, and scripture had to be fulfilled, and he had to be identified by these gifts that they were bringing, and they were a predestinated seed, so God was obligated to bring them by and give them the opportunity for their paths to cross. And I don't know what held him there, but maybe when he got back to his hometown, somebody said, Joseph, my goodness, your daddy used to make the nicest tables of anybody I ever seen. Oh, if I could just have somebody that can make them like he can, my, I could start a business here in Bethlehem that would just, oh my, it'd just shake this place. And people coming here, your old, you know, home folks and stuff coming back to pay their taxes. And, oh, my, they saw some of that stuff like your daddy used to make. We could really do something. Why don't, I'll bankroll it, Joseph. If I'll get you the tools. I know your tools are back there in Nazareth. I'll do all this. I'll set you up shop, and we'll just split the profits, and you stay here for a little while and do some work for me. Let's see how it goes. And business was probably booming for about 2 years, Brother Lee, to keep them there, or whatever it was that kept them there. Maybe their donkey broke his leg and they couldn't get home that way and couldn't afford to buy another one until he made some money. I don't know what kept him there, but something kept him there long enough for the magi to get there. And maybe Mary was thinking, Joseph, I'm about to lose my mind. 90-mile trip to my parents' house, not in a Cadillac, not in a Lexus, but on a donkey. We'll never have Christmas with my parents. And maybe it was a stressful time. Maybe there was pressure. Maybe they didn't understand, God, why have you kept us here? We really want to be back in Nazareth. Joseph had his own business there, and he had all this going on. Why have you kept us here? Why this unexpected turn of events? But God would hold them there just as long as they needed to be there. Amen. God, sometimes he places us different places. We think, God, why did you allow this to happen? Why did you bring me up over this hill and this mountain and down through this valley? And why couldn't you just brought me around this easier path? God had a reason and a purpose, and all things work together for the good of those that love him. Amen. Sometimes we can't see it. We see the trial, and we see the circumstance, and we see the distance from point A to point B, and we're looking at all that, and God says, just trust me. Just trust me. I've got it under control. Amen. God's gifts always find their places. 1963. Now, God guided the Magi because they had the right gifts. God guided these wise men because they had the right identified gift to identify his son. He says, oh my, did you get it? Wise men today. And remember on the tape Sunday morning, he said, wise men and wise women. Wise men today, wise in the name of the Lord, not with some fictitious something, but with the gift that God promised for this day. And God will guide you to identify that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There you are, wise men. Amen. A wise man of today will recognize that he's not a God of history, and he's not just a God of the future, but that he's a God that is the same today. A wise man today will recognize that his word is still being fulfilled, and that we need to look into the word and see what God is going to do and be ready to receive the fulfillment of it, even if it's different than we expected it to be.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 2, verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother and departed into Egypt. Now, I don't know if this part is 100% accurate or not, but it sounded good. I was reading I think it was Haley's handbook today, some of the things about these verses and different things, and he brought up an interesting point that they may not have been able to make this journey. Here they were poor, had to offer turtle doves at the dedication of Jesus. They may not have been able to afford a journey like this to Egypt a few days before, but now all of a sudden, how are we going to do it, Mary? Well, we do have this gold and frankincense and myrrh sitting here. Costly goods and golds and spices and things. And I love him, but I don't want him to smell like the dead. We're not going to anoint him with myrrh. So maybe we could sell that to somebody that maybe their loved one just passed away and they could use some of this myrrh. And maybe we could turn in some of this gold down in Egypt and get us a little place to keep us there until time to come back home. And God provided exactly right on time what they needed, however it was.
Amen.
Amen. He provided for the need. Amen. He loves you that same way.
Amen.
Amen. He didn't say he'd provide every want that we have, but he said he'd provide our needs. Oh my. And he was there, verse 15, until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Now this is referencing Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Now it's talking about Jacob, but Brother Bram said it's a compound meaning. And many times in the scriptures we have to watch because it might be a compound meaning of something. We think, well, that was just way off for some other day, but it may hold a compound meaning of something for this age as well. Remember, history repeats itself. So we want to keep our eyes open to what God's doing. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Nazareth. It didn't say that, did it? All the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. Oh, you mean the same Rachel that was buried in Bethlehem? You mean the same scriptures that was prophesied back there, God's allowing all this to happen. Why? Because prophecy had to be fulfilled, and it had to be fulfilled at the place that he said it was going to take place. Oh my, his word is perfect. His word is always perfect. And here, this man, Herod, this was Herod the Great. His sons would be Herod, he had several sons, Herod Philip and Herod Antipas and Herod Agrippa. They had three sons that his kingdom was split up into when he died. It split three ways between his sons and a fourth way from his sister when he died. And he had actually been set up as a king over the area of Israel there by Mark Antony in the Roman Empire. And then he got promoted by one of the Caesars there to be in the place place than he was. And Herod, he was part Jew. He came from the lineage of the Edomites, which was Esau's people. And the Jewish people were very suspicious of the Herodians. They called them half Jews, and they were suspicious of them, yet God would place him as king over them. And now, during this time of the Herodian Empire, Herod the Great would be in place, and he would begin to renovate a large portion of the city, including the second temple, which was originally constructed by Zerubbabel during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. Now it had begun to erode, and they hadn't had the money to keep it up the way that it should be. And Herod would come in and completely restore and renovate the second temple to a place that it would become called Herod's Temple. And here all his time, Brother Hoover, no doubt a great portion of his life and of his money that he spent restoring the temple. And now when the temple comes in human flesh, a body hast thou prepared me, tried to destroy that temple. Tried to kill all the children in Bethlehem, yet with all of his religious front and all that he was trying to do to show, hey, I want to help you Jews out. I want to restore your temple. Look, I'm a good guy. I'm trying to work with you. I'm trying to restore these things back from you. And here he was coming, claiming to be in the spirit of restoration, but tore down and tried to destroy the very temple that God was sending in human flesh. Oh, when it's brick and mortar and stone and dollar bills and things like that, there'll be a lot of people that'll get involved. But when it comes to the Word being made flesh, their true colors will show. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father. Sorry, Herod Archelaus, not Antipas. Antipas was the faithful martyr of Pergamos that are one of the church ages there. I apologize. I got that wrong on that Herod. But we heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod. He was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Amen. Now here they're headed back to whatever they had back there in Bethlehem. They're coming back from Egypt, and he's warned in a dream, don't go that way. And so he turns and he goes right back to Nazareth, where they started off in the first place, because another scripture had to be fulfilled. Right. And then remember in John chapter 7, it said there was a division because of him, because one group came and said, this has to be the Messiah. Nobody else could do this work but the Messiah. And another group would come and say, but was Messiah to be a Nazarene? Isn't Messiah to come out of Bethlehem? But they had missed what had happened 30 years earlier. Many times people fail they miss it because it didn't come in the time or the way that they expected. Brother Bram says, and God's gifts always find their places, 1963. He said, Mary, the mother of Jesus, in the city of Nazareth, the meanest city there was in the land, but out of there God chose a little lady to give birth to his son, an incubator, a womb, a baby had to be born by. He took such a person to do it. God works through human beings to redeem human beings. Now here he sends God, Emmanuel, God with us in the flesh, God tabernacling, and he sends in a flesh body, and he sends this sinless one to save our life, but yet he sends him through an ordinary human being, through the womb of a little humble Jewish girl. Why? Why did he do it? To prove once again that God works through human beings to redeem human beings. Amen. God came and saved you. It wasn't just a man that saved you. It wasn't a doctrine that saved you. God came and saved you, but he worked through men to get you that message to tell you, hey, look what God did for you. Look what God did in this way. Why? Because God works through human beings to redeem human beings. He works through people to hand you a book or a tape or a Bible. He works through people to show you, hey, have you ever seen this before in the scripture? Did you ever catch this here? And it begins to quicken something on the inside of you. He works through ministers, and he works through Sunday school teachers, and he works through witnesses out on the streets and at your jobs and in your schools and places like that. He can use you. God works through human beings to redeem human beings. We can't redeem anybody, but he's going to work through you so that he can redeem them. He said he can take you, work through you to redeem humanity if you'll completely dedicate everything you are. Just as Mary and Joseph had to yield to what they wanted to do so that prophecy could be fulfilled and scripture could be fulfilled so that they could have a yielded Christmas back then, we have to dedicate all that we have, dedicate everything that we are, lay aside some of our pride and lay aside some of our agenda and lay aside some of our schedule and our desires and things like that so that we can completely dedicate everything we are and yield to Him so that He can work through us to redeem humanity. If you're a young woman, he says, dedicate your morals. You're a young man, dedicate your morals. Dedicate your mind. Dedicate your thinking. Dedicate your heart. Dedicate your soul. Dedicate all you are and let Christ work through that. What a glorious thing. Got some rivers to cross. You got the bridges to go over. Briar patches, you got the thickets, you got the woods, you got the dark places, you got the high hills, you got the high climbs. What are you doing? Someday you'll have to stand and look back, see where you come from, and you're going to be judged by the course you take. Put your all, your mind and your thoughts on that North Star, the center of God, and don't move from it. Stay right with it. It'll bring you straight like it did the Magi, right straight to the Christ. Amen. Amen. If you'll watch for him, watch for his word to be fulfilled. Watch for his word to be manifested in your life and around you and through those that you come in contact with. It'll always, if it's really him, it'll lead you right back to the word. It'll lead you right back to God made in flesh again. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, what a privilege it is, Lord, to serve a God that would condescend and come down. Lord, to come in such a humble way, a way of humility. Lord, what an appropriate sermon, I thought, for a humble night, Lord, to talk about how you came. Lord, it was hard for the scribes and the Pharisees to receive you. They were looking for someone like Caiaphas in great priestly robes, and here you came, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. It wasn't religious enough for them. It wasn't spectacular enough for them. They failed to miss it. Or they missed it rather. They failed to recognize what you did, Lord. They failed to see that you came and clothed yourself in humanity. Lord, it wasn't contrary to the scriptures. It was only contrary to their thinking. You came and fulfilled exactly what the prophecies were, what it should be. Help us, Lord. May we not fail to recognize the word made flesh in our day. Lord, there's so many that are walking away, confused. And oh, Lord, help us. Help us to see what you did in this age. Not only that, but Lord, may we recognize what you're doing and what you're trying to do through us, Lord. Each one has their own calling. Each one has their own place, their own ministry, Lord, that you're trying to use them and work through them so that you can redeem somebody, so that you can heal somebody, so that you can encourage somebody, so that you can fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. Lord, you're longing for somebody that will yield themselves so that you can work through them again. God working through human flesh in this age. Help us, Jesus. Help us not to miss you in the ways that you come. Lord, you'll always come exactly according to Scripture. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Give us revelation to catch the fulfillment of it. Lord, we get so distracted arguing about the details and what we think it'll be and the doctrine and that portion of it, Lord. But may we not miss the manifestation of your word. May we see the word once it's put in action and put in flesh, Father. Open our eyes to see and our hearts to receive, I pray, Lord. If there's any here that needs you, Lord, every one of us needs you, but if there's any that needs salvation, Lord, may they receive it. May they receive that gift that you gave. Maybe somebody's tried to tell them they've gone too far, they can't have it, or that they missed it somewhere, but Father, may you take them back to Christ. Not Christ on a cross or in a manger, not just Christ a million miles away, but Lord, may you reveal, Lord, the Christ that's wanting to live on the inside of their heart, to be a part of them, to live in them and lead them and guide them. That, Lord, your desire for them to be saved and to be filled, Lord. It's greater than their desire is for it. Lord, may they recognize that your grace is still sufficient. The same one that could save Peter after he denied you, the same one that could save Paul after he had persecuted the church, that could save David after he'd committed adultery and had a man killed, that could save Moses after he killed an Egyptian and ran off on the backside of the desert. You could save all these down through history, Lord, that, Lord, they had their own character flaws and things that they did, but Father, your grace was sufficient. Lord, may they realize tonight your grace is sufficient to them as well. Lord, laying those things that are in the past, Lord, may we leave them behind us and press forward to the mark of the high calling of God. Lord, if any needs healing tonight, Lord, may they recognize you already paid the price. If they need the Holy Ghost, help them to recognize, Lord, that God of Acts 2 and 38 is still alive today, Lord. If they'll just repent and be baptized, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they can receive it, Father. Maybe they've been taught some other way, or maybe they've been confused, or maybe they've been worried, and they've sought it, and they don't think they have it, and maybe they're all so confused and torn up by man's ideas and theological teachings. But Father, may you unfold yourself to them. May you give them a personal revelation, a personal walk with you, Father. Give them what they have need of tonight, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to turn and walk away like Herod did, like Caiaphas and Judas and so many that came and they looked and they saw this great gift that you had given, and they refused to take it, Lord. But help us. Help us, Father, to receive all that you have for us. Thank you for all that you give us, Lord, and all that you do for us. Thank you for another Christmas together with friends and family. Thank you for your word. Thank you for a love for the truth, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that comes and quickens the word. We love you, Jesus. Be with us, protect us as we go our separate ways, Lord. Help us to keep you always at the forefront of our decisions. In Jesus Christ's name. In control, he's got it all in control. Oh, he put that reassurance, put it way down in my soul. He's got it all. Oh, you feel that way tonight? Why don't we stand and worship him? He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. Oh, he put that reassurance, put it way down in my soul. He's got it all. Oh, are you sure, Mary? Are you sure about this? Are you sure about this, Joseph? Are we going the right way? I put my life in his hands. Oh, I put my life in his hand. So I know every road I walk on. Oh, I'm sure it's in his plan. I put my life in his hand. Oh, 'cause I know he's got it all in control.
got it all in control. I put my life in His hands. I put my life in His hands. I put my life in His hands. So every road I walk on, I'm sure is in His plan. I put my life in His hands. Once more. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He put that reassurance, put it way down in my soul. He's got it all. My Father knows what I need. My Father knows what I need. Situation, He knows what's best for me. My Father knows what I need.
Christmas, but as a worship. I was reading today where the shepherds went there for the first time on Christmas Day. We know it was in the spring, but to see the King. So the shepherds were glad, the angels were glad, and we're glad tonight. Amen.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to Joyful all ye nations.
Sang this song several times, but it's in the book. It's 254. But I just wanted to read this little quote. I read it last Wednesday night. Brother Branham said, "On the wings of a snow white dove, and now, till we meet again, may God of heaven guide you. He who makes the stars to shine bright at night to lighten up the path when it's growing dim, may he lighten your path with the star of Bethlehem to guide you to a full surrendered life in his word is my prayer." So I thought that was just a nice thing Brother Branham said about the Star of Bethlehem, who we know who that is. So sure enjoyed the word of the Lord tonight. It was refreshing. Amen. God bless you.
Oh, beautiful Star of Bethlehem, shining through shadows dim, oh, giving a light for those who long have.
God bless you. You can be dismissed. Amen.